I want to read a verse to you today, just one brief one to begin as we jump into God's word together. It is found in John chapter number 19, verse number 30. John chapter 19, verse number 30. Titled today's message is, "It is finished, praise God. It is finished." Let me read this with you and then we'll pray and jump in. Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is powerful. It is effective. It accomplishes today all that it is sent forth to do, just as it always has. Nothing about your word has changed, just as nothing about you has changed, Lord God. Our lives sure have changed. Things are very different, but nothing about it has changed, Lord God, in this season, and we stand on its promises. I pray that as we consider the truths from it, again, as we gather this day, that through it you would equip us, that we would hide it in our hearts, that you would build your church through your word and the preaching of your word today in the name of Jesus. And come on, family, from right there at home, just pray along with me if you would. Father, speak to my heart through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. He's a prayer answering God. I believe he's going to do that. There's a story that is told every year, really, around Christmas time. You might say, "Pastor, you don't have your seasons mixed up, do you? This isn't Christmas. This is Easter. This is a time for a resurrection celebration." But there's a story that is told every year around Christmas time that most of us know quite well. It's the story of the Grinch who stole Christmas. And you've heard that along the way in all likelihood. Most of us remember the Grinch who came down from his mountain, his vile mountain, and he came down to Whoville. And if you remember the Who's down in Whoville, they like Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, he did not. And the Grinch, he came down with his dog, with his antlers on his head and his big sleigh, and he came down to Whoville so that he could steal Christmas from the Who's. And he took everything. He took their Christmas trees. He took their ornaments. He took their gifts, their packages, their bows. The Grinch took everything. He took all of their food, their lights. In fact, the tale tells us that he even took their last can of roast beast. Today, I think we call that Spam, if I'm not mistaken. But he took their last can of roast beast. He took everything from them, and he took it all back up to his mountain to steal Christmas from them. But when he got back to his mountain and he was there and thought he had stopped the whole celebration from the Who's, the next morning, he awoke to the sound of singing. He awoke to the sound of singing and the sound of cheering down in Whoville. And when he heard this, of course, he was surprised and he came out to discover that he had not stopped Christmas after all. The Who's loved Christmas so much and Christmas was so much more than all those things that they still celebrated it, even with everything taken away from them. I think this year we've learned a lot as well about this when it comes to Easter. It kind of happened to us this year. Oh, it might have just been a story, but we're kind of living it in 2020. And the Grinch didn't take Christmas, of course. He didn't do that. But if you look around this morning, it looks like he did show up to take Easter. The decorations are gone. There is no choir. There is no egg hunt. There's no festivities for the kids that we would have together. And last week, even here at our own church, we had things planned. There were going to be bounce houses and pony rides and petting zoos and food. And it was just going to be such a fun time for us to get together as families to celebrate. None of it happened. It was all taken away. There was an Easter choir planned for today that was going to be practicing and would have blessed us in song this morning. They're not here. Things are different than we had planned along the way. And he took it all. Little boys aren't running around in their little vests and neckties. Little girls aren't here running around in their frilly little dresses for Easter. And the church mothers don't have their big Easter hats and bonnets on here with us this morning. All of that is missing from the celebration. But as I stand here before this camera, I believe that we discovered something this morning, something about Easter, and that is this. It came without crowds. It came without rabbits. It came without choirs or bonnets or baskets. And now we all think something we hadn't before. Maybe the resurrection celebration doesn't come from a store. Maybe Easter, perhaps, means a little bit more. I think it means a lot bit more. I think it means a whole lot as we celebrate it, as we come together today. And although we're not here in public like we were to celebrate, Jesus is still alive. The resurrection still took place. And although you might be alone at home, and maybe you got dressed up this morning, but maybe you're laying on your bed in your pajamas against your pillow, but it doesn't change that the resurrection still took place and Jesus is alive. Jesus is not dead. The church is not dead. The church might be empty just as the tomb was empty, but just as the disciples celebrated, we still celebrate today as well. I want to encourage you today with Jesus' final three words, or three of his final words that he spoke when he was hanging on Calvary's cross. I read them there in John chapter 19 when we began. Just three little words that it is finished. I want to hang out on them for just a little bit with you. And as we do, I believe they'll speak to us and encourage us and equip us on this Resurrection Sunday. And I want to start with this. This is my first point this morning. It is finished. It is finished. To truly grasp the significance of today's celebration, you have to also have a grasp of what it is. He said, it is finished. What is? What is the it that Jesus spoke of on the cross? What is finished? That little word could be used to refer to virtually anything, whatever we would be talking about. But Jesus would choose to use it to refer to the most significant thing in the history of all of creation. Just a little two-letter word, it. It. It's important, again, that we catch what that is, to understand what God did for us. Picture with me two boys this morning. Two boys, and they're out up the street, and I'm sure they're keeping 6 feet apart, or else they have masks on their face, on their faces. Perhaps they have gloves on their hands. It's a different day. And these two little boys are outside, and they've got more free time than normal because they can't go to school. And they're out there, and they're both on their bicycles, and they're going to have a bicycle race. And the one boy challenges the other boy with this wager. He says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to race from here to the end of the street, and whoever gets there first gets both bicycles. Seems like a crazy wager, but the other boy agrees to it. He says, you know what? Let's do it. I think I'm faster than you. On your mark, get set, go. And they take off on their bicycles, and they pedal as fast as they can down the street. And the initial boy who made the challenge, he wins the race. And the other guy, being a good sport, he holds to his end of the deal. The bicycle is yours, and he gives him. One boy walks home with two bicycles. The other boy walks home with none. When he gets home, his father knows he left with his bicycle. He asks his son, where's your bike? He tells his dad the story. Dad, my friend said that we would race to the end of the street and whoever would win would get both bicycles. I lost the race. I know it was foolish. I know it was a foolish wager, Dad, but I made it. I gave my bike to my friend. They went inside and it was late. They finished the activities of the evening. They went to bed. The next morning when they woke up, the dad got up and he went down the street. He went to the home of the other boy and he was there and he came and knocked on the door and they came to the door and he asked him about the bicycle and he says, hey, I know you got my son's bicycle yesterday. I'd really like to get it back from you. And the boy says, well, I've already listed it on eBay. I have it for sale for $50, for $50. And that dad pulls out his wallet and he takes $50 out of his wallet and he hands it to that kid and he buys his own son's bicycle back and comes home and brings what was already his back to his home. That's what it is. It is finished. The it is redemption. The it is to buy back what was already yours, what you already had possession of. That's what Jesus is referring to on that occasion. And to redeem something in that situation. Jesus came to redeem us. But the wager isn't over a bicycle. The wager was actually over fruit. It really happened. And a serpent came and he enticed Eve and Adam in the garden. And he issued a wager of, you can eat the fruit. Here's the wager. If you eat the fruit, here's what will be the result instead. You'll get to be like God. It's not going to happen the way you thought it would. And he issued his wager. And Adam and Eve took a gamble on something. And they thought they could eat whatever they wanted. And even though God had said otherwise and that they would be fine, but they were wrong. And as a result, just as that little boy lost his bicycle, they lost the garden. They lost the Garden of Eden. They were kicked out. No longer could they be in that place of the presence of God. They were cut off from God, just as, and not just them, but the Bible says that when they sinned, we all fell. We were all cut off. Lest any of us ever want to think, that's not fair. Why would I get cut off just because Adam sinned? Come on. You know like I do that we sinned also. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we all deserve to be cut off. We all sinned. In order to get back to God, a price had to be paid. Redemption is what was necessary, and the price was death of one who had never sinned. But there's never been anyone who had lived a whole life without sin. So for generation after generation after generation, there was always this separation between creation and the Creator. There always had to be a go-between in the sacrificial system until Jesus came. Jesus never sinned. So Jesus possessed what was necessary to buy us back. He had the 50 bucks, if you will, but it was a whole lot more than $50. He had blood that had known no sin. And the Bible tells us that Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus willingly allowed himself to be arrested, to be whipped, to be beaten. He willingly wore the crown of thorns. The Bible said he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus knew the cross was coming. He allowed himself to be crucified. He let his blood flow, and in so doing, Jesus redeemed us. He paid the penalty for my sins. He paid the penalty for your sins. He bought us back. When Jesus declared, "It is finished," it wasn't that his life was finished. That wasn't what he was talking about. It wasn't that the cross was simply finished. It wasn't limited to the events surrounding his death itself. It was redemption. Redemption was finished. The price had now been paid. There was nothing else to do. It was done. The price that was necessary to allow us to enter into a relationship with Father had now been paid, and we could be restored to that right relationship with him. Our pardon was purchased. Today we celebrate what makes the death and resurrection of Jesus so significant, and that is our redemption. You see, we're not just celebrating the resurrection. Because if it was a resurrection by itself, it really wouldn't be enough. Because Jesus is not the only one who ever resurrected. Other people have resurrected. Even in the Bible, there are other resurrections. But we don't all get together and get dressed up and celebrate the day that Lazarus resurrected. We don't get together and celebrate the day that the son of the widow in the procession was resurrected. We don't get together and celebrate when the kid who fell out the window and Paul prayed for him and resurrected him. We don't celebrate that resurrection. It isn't just resurrection that we celebrate. Lots of people have died and have been brought back to life. That still happens to this day, that individuals' hearts stop beating. There's nothing left and they are brought back miraculously. It can still occur. It's not simply resurrection. It is what the it is. It is redemption. Jesus's death, his resurrection was unlike anyone else's, because it purchased our pardon. It purchased our pardon. He bought us back. No longer are we spiritually dead. It is finished. No longer are we separated from God. It is finished. No longer are we bound by sin. It is finished. No longer do we need to fear death. It is finished. The redemption of humanity is complete. Nothing more needs to happen. It is finished. Let me keep moving with you. You could already guess what my second point I want to emphasize to you today is. The first was, it is finished. This one's different. It is finished. It is finished. We know what the it is. It's God's plan of salvation. It's redemption. But Jesus is the Word. John 1:1 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and Jesus' words were not haphazard throughout any of his life. He's the word of the Father. His words are chosen. They are calculated. They are purposeful. They have meaning. Jesus didn't say, it will be finished. Jesus didn't say, it's going to be finished. Jesus didn't say, it was finished. Jesus says, it is. Present tense. It's still present tense, 2,000 years later, following the life of Christ, that the work of redemption is not a historical event to look back upon, but it is a present day reality in your life and mine. It's still and is. Right now, today, praise God. Jesus spoke in such a way to ensure this. Did he live a long time ago? Sure he did. We recognize the cross as an event in history, but redemption is not an event from history. Your redemption is a present day reality in your life. It is. I want to read a couple of verses for you from Hebrews. They're not going to be up on the screen. You're going to have to do this old school like we did back in the day and turn to them, or you're going to have to trust me. Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 25 through 27 is where I'm going to read. I want you to listen to this. Then I'm going to read a verse from chapter 9. Hebrews 7, 25 through 27 says this. Therefore, he, this is Jesus, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make... Come on, it's not about history, it's right now. Since he always lives to make intercession for them, for it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. Chapter 9, verse 12. It's not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Redemption is not a historical event. Redemption is eternal. It continues to this day just as it always has. It is finished. Redemption is a present tense truth in your life. We're not simply celebrating some event from history today. Not at all. The sacrifice of Jesus is as real today as it was 2,000 years ago. The power of the cross is as potent today as it ever will be. Victory over sin is as triumphant today as it has ever been. Redemption is eternal. Hell threw everything it had at Jesus, but Jesus triumphed over all. Sin is defeated. The grave is defeated. For 3 days, Jesus' body lay lifeless in a tomb. It looked like Jesus had been defeated, but that's not what happened. Come on. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. That is as real today as it has ever been. Jesus is alive. He's a right now God. He's a present day Savior. He's an ever present help in time of trouble. Not he was, he is. He is. Jesus didn't come to be a historical event. He came to be a present day reality in our lives. So we celebrate today. We celebrate that it is finished. We celebrate that it is finished. And we celebrate this today as well. It is finished. It's finished. We have reason to celebrate that it is finished. Imagine this with me. Imagine an auto race. Imagine an auto race and the cars are racing around the track. It's a long race. It's like the Daytona 500. 500 miles. Round and round they go. Finally, the cars are tight in a pack and they're coming in on the last lap. And there's a bunch of cars all together and they're racing around. And as they come by the flagger, he waves that white flag, which indicates one more lap to go. And I mean, they gun it and those cars are racing. And you've seen an auto race before and they're pressing to try to get to the finish line first. And as they approach it, they come in and it's like a photo finish. And the flagger is there and he waves the checkered flag because the car was first. He's the winner. And everyone celebrates and the fans cheer. But what if this happened? What if after he waved the checkered flag, what if the car in front just kept driving like he was crazy? Wow, just racing around the track and just kept driving as fast as he could. No one would see that and say, wow, look at what a good race car driver is. He doesn't quit. He just keeps going. No, we would say, what is he doing? What is he doing? The race is over. There's already a winner. It's already done. Why is he driving so fast now? The Washington Nationals won the World Series this past year. I'm using sports illustrations. You do remember with me that there used to be sports. I guess you could still play on your own, but back in time. The Washington Nationals won the World Series this past year. Imagine that. It's game 7 of the World Series. It's game 7. It's the top of the ninth. There's 2 outs. There's 2 strikes. And the pitcher is there. And the catcher calls the pitch. And he calls the pitch. It's going to be a fastball on the inside. And the pitcher is there. And he winds up and he brings the last pitch of the game. And the batter swings. Strike. You're out. Game is over. The fans go wild. The confetti falls. You're the winners of the World Series. But what if this happened? What if after all that, the catcher knelt back down in position and the pitcher stayed on the mound and the catcher called another pitch and he pitched again? We would not watch that and think, wow, look at the commitment of my team to playing so hard even when the game is over. We would think that that's foolishness. Who's he pitching to? The game is finished. Why is he still playing the game? Well, let me give you one more. It's the World Cup. It's the World Cup, and El Salvador is facing Brazil in the final. All right, this is it. El Salvador is facing Brazil in the final. I have people in the room to represent those countries, so that's why I'm calling them out. Kerry, where is your family from? Trinidad? Yeah, so Trinidad lost, and they got close. Trinidad lost in the semifinals. They were almost there, so don't stress that. And they were right there. So Trinidad, it's the final, and it's El Salvador, and it's Brazil, and they're there, and the clock is ticking down, and El Salvador is up 3-2, and the clock is ticking down, and they're playing defense. And I'm sorry, Juliana, but there's more people from El Salvador watching than from Brazil, so I have to let them win the game. And it's winding down, and they're coming all the way in, and the clock ends, and it's over, and the horn sounds. The game is over. And El Salvador, the referee's waving off. No extended time. It's 3-2. They've won. What if the team kept playing? What if El Salvador just kept running around the field, kicking the ball to each other, trying to keep scoring? Nothing like that would make any sense to us. It's over. It's finished. What if Melissa goes into labor in a few months and she gets to the hospital? She's rushed to the delivery room and she's there and Hector is with her and the doctors and the nurses are there. Push, push. And she gives birth to her baby and it's a baby boy and they wrap him up and they're like, oh, here's your healthy baby boy. What are you going to name him? And she says, we're going to call him COVID Corona Ruiz. COVID Corona Ruiz to remember these days. They're like, well, it's your kid and here's baby COVID. Or they lay the baby in her arms, and she's so happy, and she's there, and Hector's there, and they're taking pictures, and they're smiling. And what if one of the nurses stepped up and started yelling, push, push? It wouldn't make any sense. Why would you still push? It is finished. It's over. It's done. Hear me, friend. There is nothing left for you to do to redeem yourself. It is finished. Jesus paid it all. Like the car to the winner's circle, like the baseball team to the stage to receive their championship hats and shirts, like a mother holding a baby in her arms, all that's left is for you to receive what has already been won. There's nothing else to do. It is finished, he declared. If you've already received God's free gift of salvation in your life, then it is your redemption that you celebrate and rejoice over today. It's finished. He redeemed us. He paid it all, praise God. That's as exciting in your home as it would be in this room filled with everyone. I know it's fun to celebrate together, but redemption is just as exciting. We know that he washed all our sins away. He saved us. There's nothing left for you to do. But I'll tell you, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're watching this service today, there's still nothing for you to do other than to receive what Christ has done. Just as a championship team just needs to receive the trophy, mom needs to receive the baby. Receive what was already won. That's all you need as well, is just to receive it. Jesus already paid it all. You could say, well, I've got to straighten up and live better and stop sinning and get my act together, and then I'll come to God with my life. And you're like a car driving around a racetrack after the race is over. That's like swinging a bat when there's no more game to play. That's like pushing when the baby has already been born. All that's left for you to do is to receive God's gift of salvation in your life, to ask God to forgive you of all your sins. Will he? Of course. It. Redemption. It. We know that. Redemption is what was finished. Is there still enough grace 2,000 years later? Of course. It is. It's a present day reality in your life. Don't I have to be good enough on my own? It is finished. There isn't anything else to do except receive what Christ has done. Receive what Christ has done. And you're celebrating if you already know your redemption. But if you're watching today and you don't, I want to encourage you right there in your home, right wherever you are, to pray and invite Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to invite him to come and to live in your heart and to be the Lord of your life. Because as Jesus comes, Jesus will respond to that. He'll come into your heart and be the Lord of your life. You'll receive the gift that has already been purchased for you. Already been purchased for you. And I want to pray now. I want to pray over all of you. I want to pray whether you've already been redeemed, which is most of you, or if you're receiving that work of redemption in your life now. Either way, I want to pray over you this morning and pray with you. But I want you to remember on this Easter Sunday, wherever you are, it is finished. Jesus paid it all. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for the free gift of salvation. We thank you that you purchased our pardon on Calvary's cross. We thank you for your love. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. We love you back this day. We thank you, Lord God, that there's nothing we need to do other than receive that free gift. And I pray, God, for anybody who's at home right now and watching along who perhaps is still spinning their wheels and trying to get their act together on their own, I pray that today they'll receive the prize. They'll receive the prize. Death is already defeated. Sin is already defeated. The battle is over. Jesus already won. May they receive this gift of salvation. And then for all of us, Easter is different this year, Lord, as we celebrate at home. But we thank you today, and we rejoice in our salvation. You forgave us. You washed our sins away. You gave us a fresh start. And wow, we've needed some extra starts along the way. Your grace is insufficient because it's still a present-day reality in our lives. We thank you for that in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, don't turn me off just yet. Don't turn me off just yet. There's something else you are not going to want to miss. While I kid you not, you are not going to want to miss this. But just before I get to that, if you prayed today to invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life and you want God to redeem you of your sins and even in your home you've prayed that, would you let us know or let someone know that? You could Facebook message us here at the church or email us at church@silverspringag.org. Or if you're with someone else or you have a friend from our church or something like that, then let them know. Shoot them a text, call them, say, hey, you know what? This morning I realized that Jesus paid for me and I've asked him to forgive me of my sins and to be the Lord of my life. I know that we're separated right now and in a sense that makes us alone, but God doesn't want you to live the Christian life alone. Christianity and isolation don't go well together. God wants us to live in relationship with each other. So let someone know. Let someone know that you've made a decision to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life as you make that decision today so that that person can help you on the journey with you. And if you don't have someone, you let us know, but you want to make sure you communicate that to somebody in your life. Amen.